Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, it's another episode of Playing with Squirrels, a Boy Meets World fan cast. We are discussing episode 9 of season 2, Fear Strikes Out, which was released on November 18th, 1994. And, it's basically today. I'm in Florida right now. I'm actually in the car with my brother Brian.
Hello.
Who just picked me up at the airport. We're going to do this one kind of quick because I want to spend my weekend hanging out with him. But the person who was originally supposed to be on this had a family emergency, canceled last second. So I bumped Brian up in the list of guests for convenience.
And here we are.
Here we are.
Recording on a talk boy.
On a talk boy, basically. So this episode is about 7 minutes in heaven, which is a game that I have never actually played, but I am very well aware of.
I played seven minutes in heaven.
So I kind of was excited you were going to be on this show for this very purpose. You went to a lot cooler parties than I ever did. Did you ever go to a 7 minute in heaven party like they're having in this episode?
No. I've never been to a party that was a 7 minute in heaven, and I was very, very young and docile and anxious when I did 7 minutes in heaven. So I pretty much was like Corey Matthews. Like I was like, it was the game changer for girls. Cause they're like, oh, this guy's like cute and awkward and shy. It's very endearing. And then they're like 7 minutes in heaven with me and I won't look at them. And they're like, oh, this is kind of weird. And I've never kissed a girl in 7 minutes in heaven. Just a lot of awkward, you know, with my hands behind my back, drawing with my toe and, you know, looking on the ground.
So did you ever try to do lip ups to get your mouth ready for kissing?
Or? I did cock push ups, but I never did lip ups. So can I say cock push ups on here?
Yeah, okay. That's fine. So this episode also has a very, very, very small B plot that involves Mr. Turner having a crush on the newest teacher. But that really goes nowhere.
No, well, I mean,
does she ever even pop up again? Like, it seems like they're going to be a thing, and I don't think she ever pops up again.
Mr. Turner's a serial killer. I don't know if you've caught on. He brings in young boys to live with him. He dates women, and then they disappear, and then he eventually disappears.
Yeah, he's Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yes, he is.
All right, so I did write down that I think that this is a weird party. Like, I'm glad that you didn't go to a 7 minutes. It feels like it's a weird party where you're just drawing names out of a hat at random and forcing people to stand in a closet for 7 minutes with the expectation that everyone's just going to make out like crazy.
Yeah, I've never even seen anything like that. Like, our 7 minutes in heaven would be if, like, there were six people, three girls, three guys. That's just how it was. It didn't have to be that way. It's just how it was. And they all liked each other. And they would intentionally do, like, let's do 7 minutes in heaven, see how they do, you know. And I never made the move. I was too much of a puss.
So there is a really, I feel like it's a very telling and it's also a very relatable quote in the awkward closet scene where Topanga and Corey end up in the closet together. And Topanga's like, you don't have to do this. Like, you know, like, if you're uncomfortable. And he says, I want to do what everyone else is doing.
See, my more relatable quote of the episode was, the cheese stands alone. That was the one line that stood out to me. But I get that. Yeah, that is. You know, I got to say, I love this show. And I think I said it the last two times I was on there because my love for this show runs deep. But, man, this is like,
seasons are rough.
No, it's just pre-meta. That's all it is. It's like they're less self-aware in trying to make a real family sitcom that it makes every season after it more, like, enjoyable.
Insane.
Yeah.
So Corey ends up not kissing anybody. I do like that the scene in the closet feels like it follows a little bit of continuity, because it makes you look at season one Corey, who's like obsessed with sports, and that quote of, I just want to like what everyone else is liking. Like, it kind of makes sense where it's like, okay, so maybe that first season, maybe he's so different in the later seasons, because Topanga kind of was like, you don't have to like the things
that
everyone else does. And he slowly just becomes that old Jewish man that we know and love from all the other episodes.
Yeah, like, I don't think Corey derails as much as Eric, you know?
Oh, Eric, like, I'm waiting for the discovery of the moment when that ship just flips.
I love it. He's number two on my, like, starts off a show and then ends a show completely different.
Who's your number one?
Number one is Troy Barnes from Community.
Yeah.
And number three is Kevin from The Office.
Okay, yeah. No, all those are good ones. Let's see. So the nickname The Amazing Lipless is one of the least
clever.
It's what a bad nickname.
Because he still has his lips!
They just
haven't touched the other lips.
So here's a question that I'm wondering how many of the listeners will care. But, like, I think Corey's parents asking if he kissed anybody is weird as hell, but I feel like it's a thing that our parents have absolutely done to us.
Yeah, so... So, Mom, she never would, like, be like, did you do it? But she would be like, you know, she'd be like, so who's this girl? And I'm like, I really don't want to talk about her. And she's like, okay, that's fine, but wait, who is she? Where's she from? I'm like, Mom, I really don't want to talk about it. And she's like, well, you know, what's her name? I'm like, Mom, I don't want to talk about it. She's like, you don't need to yell. I'm just asking.
All of our interactions with her mom have been that when it comes to relationships. I'll talk to her about damn near anything except for relationship stuff.
Yeah, and my mental state.
Yeah. So my favorite quote, you were saying the cheese stands alone, but my favorite quote comes from probably my favorite character in these early seasons, Joey the Rat.
With the old man.
Yeah. He goes, man, that's a story I'm going to be telling to my kids, unless I don't have kids. Then I'll just tell them to some random kids in the park until the cops show up and they say, hey, yo, in the raincoat.
That was funny. I actually, like, that was a genuine laugh, not like a nostalgic laugh.
His character is so good.
Yeah. And this is when you first realize the one bully is a poet.
Yeah.
Which they really stuck to that story. They don't always stick to things in Boy Meets World.
Especially the first two seasons, they don't.
That's an odd thing that they stuck to, but they wrote that out.
I'm trying to remember, what is Joey the Rat? Is that while he's talking to Frankie?
Yeah, Frankie said something stupid. He made a stupid joke, and Joey thought it was really funny. Oh, he did a fake poem.
Okay.
About losing his shoes, but then he cried because he found someone that didn't have any lips. That wasn't a good poem.
No, not a good one. It was so bad I had to invent a word for it. I can't remember what Corey's word is, but I wrote that line down. He's trying to describe how bad his day was. But they find out that basically the reason that Corey choked was that Eric just made it sound like it was going to be the most awful thing in the world. And they ground him and he screams, but I'm too cute to stay at home.
Yeah.
So this leads to Topanga and Corey. They go on another date. They go to a poetry reading. This is where they kiss for, I think, the third time on the show. As I'm keeping this tally before they become like an actual couple. Oh, that's the other Joey the Rat quote I love. I didn't put quotes around it, so I missed it here. Is after Frank performs on the poetry stage, he goes, you know, poetry is about very complex human emotions, like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
He's like, I love that he is this character that sometimes just says this hyper intelligent thing and then just like completely crumbles in the middle.
Crumbles at the end. Which, that show is actually a great piece of advice. If you do want to get lucky with a girl, you take her to a poetry show.
Yeah.
But not if you're genuinely into poetry. You have to find something you're not into and pretend you're into. This is classic whatever it takes. If you pretend you're into something, you look better than you are as a person. And we suck.
Yeah.
As humans. So we have to pretend. So if you're like me, take them to a sports event. Pretend you like sports.
I mean, it's also literally from She's All That.
Oh, yeah. She's All That. They do go to...
like a weird poetry
thing. for some reason, I was just thinking of Whatever It Takes when she says, do you like the Eels? He says, yes, they're electric. He doesn't like the Eels.
The Eels are great, though.
They are good.
They're a
good
very band. Good band. So Corey and Topanga have a very sincere conversation about dating pressure, which I really, really liked. I'm like, why do I have the word nibble written down? But then I remembered it's that dude's poem. He just keeps saying nibble. Because it's the poem about the produce aisle.
God.
And then Corey and Topanga kiss while he's saying the word nibble. And then the big closing credit sequence is everybody's at the poetry reading, having heard that Corey got to kiss Topanga while there.
Including that old dog, Mr. Feeney. He still got it.
Did you read that he fought off a robber?
Yeah, I saw that. And he's like 90-something years old.
That's like our Uncle Stan.
Yeah.
Pop-Pop Stan.
Dude, George Feeney is the fucking man.
George Feeney. We just did that episode last week.
Oh, the band?
Yeah.
Where they form a band? Yeah, man. It's going to be a sad... Like, the way that the world is right now with Stan Lee, even though he lived a long life, it still hurts.
That's how it's going to be with Feeney.
That's how it's going to be with Feeney. Because he's already... Like, if he died today, I could say he lived a long life.
Yes.
But
he's probably got another 5 or 6 in him, I bet.
Oh, yeah. He's kicking.
But it's going to be upsetting. It's going to be real awkward if he dies between now and tomorrow when this episode goes. So
I will say he lived a long life.
We'll look like assholes. But... is there anything else you got to say? This isn't really the most memorable episode of Boy Meets World.
No.
Especially coming off the band episode, which is probably the highlight of this season thus far.
Yeah, probably. I mean, probably the only good episode of season. Great episode.
It's a great episode. Like, contender for top 20 Boy Meets World episodes.
Yeah, I don't want to say the only good episode, but yeah, the only great, like, non-forgettable that, I mean, there could be other great ones I just forgot.
But that's what super makes them memorable. People remember that last episode. All right, well, we'll be back. Actually, let me check. I think that they took a brief hiatus at this point on the old Boy Meets World. We will be back. Nope, they just kept on trucking, so we'll be back next week.
Nice. I won't be here.